Colleagues, where is our program? Okay. Basically, we'll be dealing with the electronic amendment bill, whichever way members would want us to reflect on. When we concluded the meeting last week, I said members must come prepared to deliberate, albeit in a shorter space of time, on the matters that they would like to. Having listened to the presenters, the matters that members would like to reflect on. Obviously, we had made our views and expressions in the meeting about how this process is likely to unfold. But I think what has subsequently happened, we're actually getting other correspondences from what I would call very important participators who missed out on the process. Some of them reserve their right to take us on for excluding them. Yeah. Whereas we had given left the publication for remark, and those that were able to come during the hearings, you know, we amended our program and included them. So now we've got other people that have now written letters, I think two of them. The Etegwini municipality, and who else, Ajira? There is another it's an entity, some organization. But then, yeah, that's the first thing. The Durban says they have they hear that we have overtaken them and they're not included. They are a very interested party. They are prepared to, they reserve their right unless they are allowed to participate. And the other one, obviously, I think what we may need to do is really to first refer that matter for Parliament to advise us. But my attitude would be that even people who have come late, you know, in the lawmaking process, you should try and include them, unless if there are reasons that would say don't. And hopefully, I didn't respond to them, and what I said I was going to raise here with yourselves is perhaps as we resolve as to how we take the process forward, we can then indicate to them, would you well, this is how we are concluding as the fifth parliament on the matter, and you can perhaps follow up on those matters in the sixth parliament, because we are definitely not going to finish the process now. But I just felt, let me bring it to your attention that we have those, and I suspect we may still have others that are coming too. That's the first thing I felt I should raise before we even look at the apologies. We have the minister's apology. She's held up in Pretoria in an emergency meeting, so she will not come. But secondly, we have Mamu Mackenzie, Mamu Julie Killian. She went through her operation. She's recovering very well. She's confident that everything went well. So we can only wish that she recovers. Mam Tsotetsi is, I'm not sure whether she'll make it. She's limping. She had to go and consult this morning hopefully she's on her way. She'll either join us during the course of the day. I should have tried to call her, but she can't find her on the phone. So our committee is very limping in many respects. Babu Mackenzie, you wanted, I saw you raising your hand.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Chair, remember when we were talking about advertising, I think it was the Cumber Bill, and we had a discussion around, you know, you put one ad in and you give a closing date, and then you put a second ad in with a closing date. And to quote the Chair, if we give people a second bite at the Chair, they will wait for the second bite without responding to the first one. If there's a second chance to go for something, as South Africans, you know, we always wait until that deadline, that second deadline. And I would imagine in terms of the eThekwini municipality that, you know, maybe they should read their national papers, Chair. And if they missed that opportunity in terms of the process, I think if you start bending the rules of process, then you create a precedent. It's quite a dangerous precedent, I think, because then every person who didn't see the ad or missed an opportunity when it gains prominence in the media will step forward and say, but you should consider our submission. And if you let in one, you have to let in all. So that's just the comment on that generally, Chair. And I would also argue for eThekwini that Selga was here, and eThekwini are a member of Selga, and I would imagine that Selga would have represented the interest. Thank you, Chairperson.
Well, once you on the Selga matter, you remember that what we said to Selga was that we'll give them an opportunity to do a supplementary submission after consulting. They were going to be going to the conference. So, and indeed Selga did say that they did not find time to consult their members. So perhaps, but I'm just saying I have to put the matter before members so that it is on record that such a thing happened. But it's true, Honorable Mackenzie, that to bend backward and forward, you may set a precedence when you are trying to be accommodative, just mess the whole thing up. But the fact of the matter is, we will not even do the very first round of the work on this bill. The committee that will actually deal with the bill will be the next parliament. Surely, it is upon that committee that come in, the new committee on communications or whatever, that will have to determine their route. All I'm saying is, we've taken note of your comment, get the legal advice from Parliament, include it, but also then say, this is how we have resolved on the matter. So the matter will, we can't receive their presentation now, obviously. We don't have another meeting left. All I'm saying is we will tell them about what the process will possibly be going forward. This Parliament will prorogue, and it will then be the next committee that will see whether they want to take the new submissions, if needs be, or whatever, but also indicate that they may need to perhaps go to Selga and bring their input to the Selga forum, avenue that we have created to everyone that presented before us. But I think after I get the legal advice from Parliament, we'll then do the right thing. But thank you very much for those comments. Mr. Jenkins is late. Who is the legal advisor of Parliament? He'll possibly advise us on that in that respect. Now we don't have today the legal the other matter. Okay, I was still saying we do not. Is there the state law advisor present today? See, the state law advisor has got he sent us an opinion. It's quite a lengthy legal opinion. How many pages? About 61 or 47? On the question of tagging and related matters, and you're bringing all these acts, I mean, the rulings of the courts. I thought they would be here so that they brief us, because that forms part of what we will possibly hand over to the institution with our many recommendations. Now, one of the things that I felt we needed to deal with, and we did include it in our committee, what I call was the minutes of the committee, so that we can at least remove some of these things that are hanging. We shouldn't leave certain things that we're going to be remaining for the next parliament. I think those ones we should dispense of. But whilst we are then dealing with the minutes, which is something that I feel we must just quickly deal with them. There are a few minutes, set of minutes. Does everyone have them? I want members to really think on the matters that they would like us to flag. There are issues where there is agreement, they are not important in the bill. There are issues where at least people have got differences, but they have views, which I think we must look at. There are issues where people are miles ahead, which we must look at, and have them recorded so that we can submit it to the chair of House chair to say these are areas of divergence. And it does put the committee in a very difficult situation. We don't have time to coerce everyone into line. And I don't know how we arrive at that level. I've never seen a bill which is before Parliament and everyone who are supposed to be in the center is on the extreme ends. So something went wrong, I would say, in the department. I don't think that everybody's been coming here and said, no, we want 100% spectrum. Others said, no, we had committed 30. No, why? Once, all for one and nothing for the rest. I mean, the views were just too far, and they shouldn't be there. I mean, if there was thorough consultation and inclusion. I mean, some members were even saying that this has been even a better consultation than what the department did, which is a problem. If it's true, it's a problem. Now, the DG is not here because it would have been good that... I didn't invite the DG. I didn't say he should come. But it would have been good to really hear. But it's no more their matter. It's our matter. We'll have to have our say on what is before us. But I think it is something that we'll have to put on our record that there are those concerns, that things that were raised and not been accommodated. I don't know the extent of the consultation. But if this bill were to go back, I think the department will have to come back with a better bill. If the future committee will have to deal with the bill, they have to take those things very much into account. But we'll start with the minutes and then we'll come back to our bill. Just for reflections. And welcome to members that have just come in to help in the places of the two very sick members of our. Do you welcome them, Mr. McKenzie? Okay, thank you. We will start with the minutes of the 14th of August. I think that's where we ended. Got quite a lot of minutes outstanding. Shall we? First page. Oops, sorry, Ajira. First page, we don't want you to go to hospital as well whilst we're going to rest. Second page. Yes, ma'am.
Chair, this is a mistake that's made, I think, through the minutes of August up until early September, is the spelling of Alf Wiltz's name. He's here as Alf Fritz, and it's Alf Wiltz, and it's on all the sort of the first four or five sets of minutes, plus in the body of the text. I think it stops from October the 19th, is it, or the 16th? I can't read my own writing. Is the first time he actually appears with his correct name. So if we can just do a search and replace on the first, the August and early September minutes. So that's a common mistake.
That's Alf, the lawyer. He said, what is the correct name? Wiltz. Okay. Thank you. Page number two and then the rest of the documents until the end. Page number three. Page number four. That's in number 5. And the last page, which is page number 6. Can I get a mover, unless if there's any matter? Okay.
But you're going to take you back to 5, please.
Okay.
Under question and discussion, the third bullet point, right at the end, unstable last miles. Can we change that to last mile connectivity?
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Put. Any mover? Moved. Seconded. Thank you. 21st of August. First page is in order. Second page, Alfred. We will not revert back to Alf. You just corrected as Madam Sheen had proposed. Any other takers on page number 2? Page number 3. And the last page. Any mover? Moved. Shaken. Page number 28th of August. First page. Second page. Is dealt with the amendment. Or inside the text of the document. So you just go back to your system and say you look for VETS, and then you will replace with VETS, FRITS, whatever the correct name. And then page number 4, page number 5, mover, moved, seconded, thank you. Date number 4, September, first page, page number 2, page number, if just on page number 3, the minister there on the second, what do you call, page number 3. Just the name of the minister there is Minister. So that correction. Page number 3. Page number 4. And page number 5, the last page. Any mover? Moved and seconded. Thank you. October 9, first page, standard. Second page. Yes, sir.
Chair, just on the first page and inconsistency, I see we're talking about, in some minutes we referred to Ms. Juliana Killian, and some we referred to Julie. Shouldn't we have consistency throughout? Just asking.
Which one is which?
For example, on 14th of August, we've got Juliana Killian.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Same for the following one. Thank
she
you.
Did actually refer. I know she corrected this thing one time. Can't remember whether she wants Juliana or she wants Julie. Okay, then you'll have to correct the previous one. Just go back. I did see Juliana in the first 3 or so. Okay, she wants Julie. Thank you, Mr. McKenzie. Page number 1, done. Page number 2. Page number 3. Page number 4. Page number 5. You'll check number 6, Lapa, the second line, the first line. Yeah, the first. And then you go where, okay, then we have page number 6 and then page number 7, mover. Oh, okay. He only spoke. He only spoke spiritually into the meeting. Mr. McKenzie, sir?
My ghostly voice. We've also got Yolanda van Asveren quoted in the report.
And she doesn't appear.
And she doesn't appear there either. Thank you, Chair.
Will you take care of that? How can you leave the two learned lawyers out? Any mover? Moved and seconded. Thank you. Number 16, 16 October. Page number one, page number two, page number two, we've corrected the threats. Page number three, page number four, and page number five. Any mover? Moved. Any seconder? Seconded. Thank you. We're taking the can we get deal with page 23rd of October? Yeah, the 23rd of October 2018, the first page, second page. Oh, the verse now is right. Ma'am Shin? It's good, it's right here. Good. Page number three. Any mover? Any seconder? Thank you. And South Africa is out of recession today. So you can be in better comfort. Sorry? the 30th of October 2018, page number one, page number two, that is proper, page number three, page number four, which is the last page. Any takers? Moved and seconded. Thank you. 6th of November. Page number one. Page number two. Page number three. Page number four. Page number five, page number six, page number seven, page number eight, page number nine, and the last page number 10, moved and seconded. 13 November 2018, page number one, page number two, page number three, page number 4, page number 5, and page number 6. Moved. Seconded. Thank you. Number 20, November 20. That's when the second meeting will start at 8 at 11. These 11 2-hour meetings of the day. At first page, second page, third page, and the last page. Shall I get a mover? Moved and seconded. Thank you. 26 November. Oh, this one's mostly straight. Okay. First page. Sir.
Just a typo, Chair. If you look under the first name of delegate, it's got two M's and an S under Mamitsi Masimola. Thank you.
You reckon it's the wrong way? I think it's correct. One? Oh, I see. I thought you meant the name, Mamitsi. Okay. Okay. Thank you. I thought I was going to say, Mr. McKenzie, have you become a specialist of these two names? No, thank you. First page, second page, and the third page. Any mover? Moved and seconded. The next day was the 27th. From 9 until very late. They don't, oh yeah, until 7 o'clock. First page. Second page. And page number 3. Madam Shin. Oh, moved and seconded. Thank you. My machine is now on 5G. she's ahead of speed. 29 November. First page. Second page. And page number 3. Mover. Shaker. Agreed to. The last minutes of the 30th, page number 1, page 1, you see, the briefing was not by Siyabonga Mahla, it was by the CEO. Who is the CEO? Ubali Kamalake wa? Sipho Maseko. Who's that? Smile. Yes, yes, yes. It's the, will you correct, please? Although they were both presenting, they all spoke, but we must then check the attendance. There's no attendance for those. We'll put it, okay. Good. First page and second page, we've dealt with the third page. Shall we get a mover? Moved and seconded. At this point, I must thank Advocate Mbulwana for coming to our rescue, and my uncle, Kekana. And because I also didn't find time to convey my condolences to you when you're... Was it your dad who passed on? Was it your father who passed on?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. We convey our apologies as a committee now that we see you live in our committee. Thank you for coming to the rescue. Now for you, Mr. McKenzie. Kekana is part of my family. Yes, he is a third born. in the lineage. Now we're talking of several hundred years ago, eh? Kekana is the surname. Mine is Mashangu, and the other one, the firstborn, is Mapena. But after him comes others. There, but the family was made out of seven sons. Each took a name of the father. These were father's names, and then they took it. They became surnames. They are spread all over the. Yeah, although it was messed up by the system. Oh, all of us. But thank you very much, my brother. You may stay on to benefit from what we are saying, but if you have to attend to other businesses, we are very grateful. Colleagues, this takes us back to our business. Advocate, welcome. We wanted some advice from Parliament around the procedural issues. And I must give it a bit of a background so that we are all on course. This is our last meeting in the year. Not sure whether next year early we'll have time for a meeting. I have my doubts. Everyone wants to go and mobilize for support ahead of the elections. We will be receiving the State of the Nation address and hopefully the budget after the State of the Nation, say 2 weeks thereafter. Does it take us 7 days or 2 weeks for the budget? I think it's about 2 weeks at most. And then we're going to prorogue. Now what has happened is we received submissions. Submissions that came on time, and whilst we were busy with the process, we admitted 2 people to participate. Now we've now received 2 correspondences of entities that are complaining that they were not aware of the advertisement, and the advertisement took a full 4 weeks. Now they are complaining and they are prepared to take us to cleaners. So they say they reserve their right. We will obviously be making our report to Parliament that we believe that the next Parliament should actually proceed with the bill. Although we have issues that we're still going to discuss now as to whether we can continue, whether we can correct the differences, whether we believe we are in a better position to deal with the issues, or we want the bill redrafted, or whichever way. We'll have our discussion and decision. Whether we do it today or we do it early next year, I think we can have a committee, one just to conclude our report that we'll finally submit. Because of the lack of support that we've not been receiving from Parliament, we're actually limping very badly. But the advice that we need from you is with regards to those people who never came across our papers, and our papers were distributed across the country in all 11 languages. English and Afrikaans is circulating everywhere, including Durban. Specific one for KwaZulu-Natal was issued, which is Isolezwe. So these guys are prepared to, they say they want to take us to cleaners. So we want an advice from you as to how should we treat their submissions. We are obviously not going to entertain their submissions. But whether we can refer them or their submissions to the next Parliament is something that we'd like to get from you. How should we deal with this matter so that we are within the required legal limits. Mr. McKenzie was arguing that we should avoid a danger of being too flexy, allow for people who fail to read the papers on time to come late. Because once you accommodate them, we'll set a precedent, and that will be something that we'll have to live with for the rest of Parliament. So we wanted the learned lawyer to guide us on this aspect.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I think the vantage points from what one needs to look at this is that we should comply with the Constitution that says we must facilitate public involvement. And we have a system that's developing, and as you know, some of it we fell short of what the court required, like in Doctors for Life, as well as the Lemosa, the Land Access Movement case. The standard that they apply is, was there a reasonable opportunity for meaningful participation? And Parliament decides what it is, what is required in terms of reasonable opportunity for meaningful participation. So if it's a bill that's very technical and receives many submissions, one might need to have a different approach to a bill that's very straightforward and maybe only have one submission, or it deals with something that's only affecting Parliament, and that's just sort of background. Now, the issue will be viewed as such if these people make a submission to a court to say they were not giving a reasonable opportunity to make a meaningfully participate in the legislative process. Parliament will have to show that we did that, and what you've just said sounds reasonable to me. We've distributed in all official languages across the country. We called on people, and at this stage in Parliament's development, I would suggest that there are a few people who also know that we have a website that can look at parliamentary program and that can see what is there if they want to come to Parliament to make submissions on various things. And Chair, that being said, so I don't feel that we should concern ourselves too much with it, because Parliament did give an opportunity here. What one can do with submissions that one receives late is to accept them, but of course the program has been scheduled already. When are we going to deliberate on legislation and what's going to do? So if members do have time then to make further reading, or if there's research capacity in the committee, and now your committee has been a little bit on the short side for research and legal capacity. So if there is that capacity, one can ask a researcher, just summarize it, advise the committee on them. My approach, what I'm looking at, Chair, from a legal point of view, to translate it in plain language, is to say to a committee, instead of saying that there's a deadline after which we don't receive any more submissions, rather say there's a deadline, it's the same thing, but rather just say there's a deadline for when the committee is going to do its work on the bill. And you can make submissions up to that date. Clearly we have set aside a date for verbal or oral submissions, and that can't be changed because there's financial implications. Then we're going to start looking at the bill and having deliberations about its objects, or having the motion of desirability, and everything will be fine. And I'm just taking, for example, from a committee that I am in often, the Finance Committee, up to the date where we say, today we're voting clause by clause. So today we don't want any more public submissions. Now the lid is closed and we're going to go clause by clause and deal with this legislation. So it's an approach to ensure that people don't feel I'm going to fight Parliament because I didn't want to accept my submission, and I was away, or I was on holiday, or I was in England, or I was in a coma, or my parents were visiting me or whatever, and I couldn't at that point reach the information that's necessary. So now, again, that's background. So for these specific submissions, Chair, seeing that where we are at this point in time, Chair, I don't know if you're going to look at this bill again, but I would suggest that there's nothing wrong, and the risk is rather small. I'll talk about the risk. Is rather small. To say to them, look, we've received your submissions, they are late, but we will distribute it to members and see what the members think of it and see how they want to deal with it. Maybe there's nothing new in it, because we've had plenty of submissions on this piece of legislation, and just deal with it like that. And whether there's going to be further public submissions or further deliberations on this bill in the new Parliament will be for the new Parliament to decide. So I would deal with it like that, Chair.
Well said. Colleagues, are you fine with that legal advice. Thank you. I guess we find Madam Tutis welcome. Hope you, I don't know whether you survive in this weather in this room with your ailing feet, but let's hope you do. Chill, the colder the better for the feet to heal. That's what they do when you get injured in the sports game. They use ice. So I assume that I'm not a doctor, so I just assume the learned doctors do the thing. They freeze your feet, and then your feet is perfect. So this temperature in the house is good for your feet. Thank you, colleagues. Back to the bill. I am going to just reflect on the technical issues that have been raised. Or what should I do? Do members want to take a... Because we have time limits, let me take the lead. I normally prefer members to speak first so that I can listen. No, because I am not a very good thinker, so I want to be the last to pick up on what they've said and bring my views. But I'm going to request that I just reflect on a few things so that members can either increase, enlarge, elaborate, and so on and so on. Madam Sheen had sent us a letter. Yeah, almost forgot your letter. Madam Sheen has sent us a letter. Now, I don't know whether the things that are contained in the letter, as it affects ICASA, whether it is the responsibility of our committee or that committee. I know it will belong in the next committee, but as to whether it belongs to this committee, it's something I am unsure about. But when you come in to speak, I would request that you take us into your understanding as a... I was told that you actually are a student of technology. You were actually thoroughly schooled, so you... Sorry? It's true, ne? No, they did say so. And it's not you who spoke. It's your lecturer. Or whoever. Okay? I may quote the wrong person, but it's fine. Let me get into the... Yes, and we've got a content advisor here. Did you send him this document? So he's aware. Okay. The content advisor will also advise. That's part of his responsibility. But thank you also, content advisor, for attending. I know that I saw you in the last meeting. You were there to try and volunteer as an old volunteer. We worked very well with him during the SAPC hearings. And we actually were very tight in whatever we're doing. Through that help, it did help us. We remained very solid and were able to go up to the last court in the land to defend. And so your help has been very helpful. Colleagues, back to the issues. There are issues that have been raised, and I've categorized them into three. The first ones are your almost technical issues, which may need to be looked at and clarified. And I'm going to run through them. And then I'm going to then look at something that I have called contradictions, where people have different views, but they are not sticky issues. They may be sticky to one or two, but they are not, the level of concern about them is perhaps within bounds. It's things that, when discussed, can be resolved. Now, there are issues that are contentious, where people have got divergent views. And these are some of the issues that I had said need to be workshopped. They can either be workshopped by the department and entities or facilitated by ourselves. But we must obviously get a guarantee that indeed those things will happen to assist the new parliament. Now back to where I started with regards to the technical issues. Amongst them are definitions. Now, the people that, I think two or three people or submissions that have spoken about the control. In this case, they refer to the control, no, quite a few of them. But it's more, I know it may be a serious matter, but it's just a question of control. And the solution to that aspect was a question of definition. And I'm saying it's a contentious, it may be a contentious matter, but if it is thoroughly defined, it may be addressed. It was a control, for instance, that is being removed from ICASA. So others were saying, but look, this control thing, define control so that we don't raise an issue when in actual fact it is insignificant. So it's a matter that I think we need to, that may be dealt with by, for instance, our drafters, the law, legal drafters. There's an issue about the open access. I know quite a few of the submissions wanted to really this thing that we should define open access appropriately. Because wherever it is actually almost broadly defined, so it doesn't really help. And then there were a few or two of them that have requested that significant impact appears now, because I don't have my bill here, I have to, my bag is too big now to pull it through. But the question of the significant impact has been raised as a matter that requires to be defined and effective. I think the two are within the same space. So if you check in the bill, like I said, I'm not going to rush through and check now, I may come back later. Effective was also, there was a request that thing be defined what it means. Electronic transaction is one of them that needed to be defined. Actually significant appears, okay, let me start on effective. Effective appears on section 2 of the bill. Significant impact appears on page 26 of the bill, clause 67C3B or something like that. Significant impact. And then the next one is electronic transaction, which needed to be defined. It's on page 29 of the bill. And the next one is the wireless open access network. Which appears on page 2014 and page 19, and page 29, sorry. There was a request, I think it was from Liquid, that it is too broadly, it appears on the object of the bill, eh? Yeah, so there was a request that it be clarified. And then the issue that is also raised, which is almost not a technical matter, but the spectrum refarming, I think the issue there had to do with the request that it reverts back to the authority. So that's now part of the, not contentious issues, but issues where there are some level of contradictions. Others say, no, this thing has been given, so once the time comes, let it go back. Others are saying, but we think that thing must remain. I mean, you're just creating a lot of problems. It's going to take hundreds of days to deal with a matter that is unnecessary. You've given it, so allow them to refarm. They farmed it already in the beginning, so let them scoffer it and farm it, refarm it. So it doesn't appear to be contentious to me, and I don't think the department has also come up with a strong view that says, or the authority, that it shall come back. But the last matter now, I know that this one belongs to the next aspect. The last matter is that must go come back to definitions is the deemed entities. It was said it was too broadly defined. We must actually close it up so that it is properly defined. Now, the next issues where there are contradictions, the first one was the spectrum refarming. There are those that feel that it must remain with the people. The department wanted it back, but they didn't come out strong to say they have issues because they have already refarmed other of the spectrum. So I guess it's a matter that can easily be Parliament can easily deal with them and say, no, look, you've given them. It remains there. Let them reform. That's how they were able to reform from 3G to 4G. So it has worked. So leave them. There's an issue of BEE, triple BEE, versus the HDI. In the ICASA Act, they refer to HDI, and the presenters have called for a triple BEE to clarify the issues as to what is actually required. You're welcome.
Just on that, I think the discussion was around the term of the use, HDI or black. That was the debate. Thank you.
It's a question of clarity as to what do we need between the two. Yeah. Just saying, these are easy things. We can simplify now. Remove HDI, replace BE. It's fine. So we know what we need. Now, I wrote licensing framework here. I don't know why I wrote this thing because I'm unable to speak to it now. But someone may pick it up and help. There's an issue about the rapid deployment. Now, it's a question of its mandate. There are those that feel rapid deployment should actually deal with the infrastructure issues, whereas the department wanted to, for that entity to actually deal with the spectrum allocation, amongst others. No, there's a committee. There's a committee, spectrum committee. Yes. There's rapid deployment, which... Yes. The rapid deployment is a committee established by the minister. And the National Coordination Center, is it one of the same thing? No. It's not the same thing, ne? It's two different things. National Coordination Center and the rapid deployment... I'll have to go to the bill. But, okay, I'll come back to this one. And there's an issue about the role of the committee. And I think it's something that members felt, the role of the committee must remain, and there are those that feel some powers should be taken away from the entity. I guess we've expressed ourselves on that matter quite. We may not. It's a matter that can be resolved by a decision of Parliament. Now the Parliament restate its law that it had passed, or the Parliament accept the proposed amendment, and the matter can be dealt with immediately. The issues of rural and underserviced or inadequately served areas, which I think was clarified, although others felt rural, it's something else, and some of them confused it with adequately served, but I guess that matter was thoroughly dealt with in the meeting. Then there's an issue about the policy direction, and I know that I am raising this matter. It was raised quite a lot. But what I failed to do was to go back to the IGAMVA bill, because we recently we're debating that bill this afternoon, whether the same approach that is being proposed here of the policy direction is the same as we had expressed it in the IGAMVA, because we can't have divergent approaches on a civil matter. Unfortunately, we don't have that lady to help us out, that other lawyer, but perhaps colleagues can clarify that matter. I'm noting you, Madam Sheen. I just want you to note it if you want to come back to it, and then I want to rush to the last matter, and then think whether I should go to the contentious issues and then allow members to speak to every matter. The last one is the radio frequent spectrum trading. A few members raised the issue that issue should be... Yeah, there are those that feel there should be spectrum trading. There are those that says you shall not trade. Thou shalt not trade with it. There are those that are saying they are holding it. They are not releasing it. It's another area that I felt needed to be clarified. But I'm sure, can I recognize you?
Thank you, Chairperson. My understanding of the policy direction was that it's a totally different thing to the bill. The policy direction is what ICASA's are currently engaged with, is the means for disposing, allocating, if you like, of the high demand spectrum. That is a policy direction that the Minister has given ICASA to come up with. And that's a separate process to the bill. That was my understanding of when people were talking about the policy direction. It wasn't the bill. It was the ICASA process to deal with the spectrum allocation.
But policy direction is in the bill, in the proposed bill. Yes, ma'am. It's there. It appears, I think, in two or three places. It's part of what ICASA should respond to. So the minister gives a policy direction, and ICASA must, as against me, consider. So, and that's why others are raising the issue that ICASA then becomes a lapdog of the minister. Why do you need the ICASA? Let the rapid then deal with the matter if there is no need. If ICASA role, because that's part of their responsibility, to listen to what the minister has said and then decide whether they take the advice or the direction or whatever and proceed. Now, the almost contentious issues. I'm just running through them without going through so that members can add or refuse, add or what they call temper with what I've said. The issue of tagging is actually contentious. Hopefully, when the state law advisors, and I was hoping they were going to be here, informs us about the position, final position, it was going to help us to then say procedurally what is the take, Mr. McKenzie said.
Thank you, Chair. Perhaps I can take us forward. The bill was ATC'd and retagged as a Section 76, I think about a week ago, Chair.
Yes, that's the last day what it called.
Yeah, so that's solved now. Problem solved.
Thank so you. That problem is solved. Yeah. So what it means, therefore, is that the processes of the NCOP will have to then kick in the next session of Parliament. So it can't be dealt with in the way we were envisaging it from the beginning. But as to how we missed it in the first round is, when I say we, Mr. McKenzie, please don't throw things to people. It is our system. If they misfire, we have misfired, all of us. If they do well, we are doing it well. Mr. Advocate.
Maybe just for clarity, we always advise that it's a 76. It should be tagged as a 76. I said that when we met in Good Hope Chambers. Now, on the legal opinion that our office submitted to the speaker, there was a typo. A typo error, yes. Because we advised 76, and then at the last line, there was still a recommendation that it be 75, but the recommendation that was signed by the speaker and the chairperson of the NCOP was that it's a 76 legislation. When that opinion then goes to what is called the Bills Office, Neil Bell heads the Bills Office, it's also part of the Legal Services Office, he then puts that into the ATC. So he then recommended 75, and then he made an entry into the ATC that the bill is tagged as 75. That's what we corrected last week, because I was sitting in the committee and I was dealing with Ms. Najira Saleh about the issue, and I went and I looked at the ATCs, and we found that a mistake crept in. But it was an honest mistake. There's no change of the classification of it. As we will see, there will be now a bill, a municipal, I think it's a systems amendment bill. We're retagging that. In other words, the joint tagging mechanism already said that 75, but now we've discovered things that came up. We've got a separate legal opinion on the matter. That bill should be retagged this week as 76. Didn't happen with this electronic communications amendment. It's always been 76 in our view.
But when we advertised the bill, we advertised
proposed 75.
75.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is before. If I can take the process, we get the bill from the executive, and they must, according to the rules, give a proposed a classification of the bill, as well as a legal opinion on that matter, which they did. We then take that, we looked at it, and we, in common language, we picked it apart. We said, look, we find these issues are correct, but they haven't considered these following issues as well. Therefore, we disagreed with them. We cooperate with the state law advisors on this. We ask them, we get to a proper understanding of their argument, and we make up our own independent arguments for the joint tagging mechanism. So when that process can take up to a week or two, even longer. So in the meantime, the committee has gone forward and said, we've got the bill from the executive, we're calling for public submissions, it's a proposed 75. Yeah, exactly.
Contentious, because you see, when Parliament, and we are Parliament, when we issue such a statement, people who would have been playing in a 76 space would always say, okay, look further, we're not interested, because there's nothing to do, except those people who have come forward and said, we are challenging this tagging, it is a 76 from where we are. Salga is one of them, I think, and I can't remember other, what do you call it. So I'm just saying that we have sent a 75 message. So it may come back to haunt us in a way, but indeed now that we know, NCOP, when they issue their advert, they must, that matter would have been clarified. I think in a way, just saying that we'll be sending two signals that, yeah, but it's fine. Hopefully, we will appropriately correct that situation. Now, issues that are contentious, amongst others, include the authority and competences of the minister on the bill, the power assigned by the bill to the minister from the council. So I'm just saying members must just note it, and they may want to reflect on the matters. The issues of right of access, and now that's where the authority of the landowners and or the municipalities come in, the issues that they have said. On this one, we have the final say. We shall not be overruled by a bill. And that's where, amongst others, we're raising that they want to step their authority. They are even prepared to litigate on those matters. So it's a matter that we have to handle with the greatest of care. It's one of those issues that we said, for instance, the department must workshop it with the relevant people, even taking into account some of the court decisions that are already there. There's an issue of the single trenching, which is very contentious. Others are calling for competition in the infrastructure, and others are saying single trenching. So that matter remains a red flag. The allocation of the spectrum, the high demand spectrum, those that said we had agreed on a 30%, from what will be allocated to the industry. There are those that are saying, that have come forward and said, the whole high demand spectrum should be allocated to one entity. Others are saying it's going to take 10 hours or 10 years for that entity to apply. Spectrum must be allocated immediately, and you may want to reserve, although we feel differently. There are those that are saying, for instance, the big industries, 30%, there was a commitment that they will take 30% of the spectrum from one to make one. And I started to start with one. One is one of the contentious issues. Others are saying one is the way to go. But the question that we have raised, and we've not received an answer, whether there can be one, two ones, three ones, four ones, will ones compete, or will one be a monopoly? It remains a contentious issue. There are those, a secondary matter, that says we are agreeing to the one, and the space it will occupy, which is a wholesale space, and that we are committing to take a certain percentage. Um, there's an issue of the constitutionality of the bill, obviously, something that remains unclear. And there's another matter that is being raised, that what we have done with this bill, we've actually created a policy uncertainty. Because whereas there was a white paper, and whereas people were consulted and there was a particular view, we've come up with a bill that has gone the left or the right of what we had agreed upon in our engagements. I think there may be one or two other matters that I've left. Nami, I also have my own headache. Colleagues, can I allow members to reflect? Madam Shin, I want to, as you reflect, to speak to your document as well. Madam Mackenzie, Mam Sotetsi, and Mam Dunge.
Thank you, Chairperson. My understanding when we left the meeting on Friday was that the bill was in disarray, that the bill needed to be withdrawn. There needed to be, because of the urgency of expanding our sector, we needed to separate it out into a couple of components. One was that there's a policy direction currently being formed by ICASA, with public participation, on how the high-demand spectrum should be allocated. I think that we should perhaps ask them to focus on that, as that being an immediate priority for our economy and to get the whole fourth industrial revolution onto a decent footing. That we should advise ICASA, because my understanding is that there's a memorandum of understanding between the two departments, that we actually have some authority to deal with ICASA on issues that are come under our like spectrum allocation, which has come under our sort of purview, if you like, of this department. And so my feeling was that we should give feedback to ICASA to ask them to sort of proceed with that policy fairly swiftly, to make sure that the concerns that were raised during the meeting about the takeoff of the spectrum that the mobile network operators had agreed to or had offered should be resolved, and that the policy should actually proceed with that quite quickly. Now, I sent to you on Friday at the end of the meeting a document which was available, given to the department during a workshop on the white paper before the bill came out. I don't think it was in the draft, but I can't remember exactly the timing of this, in which the mobile network operators offered to take 30% of the capacity of the WOAN in exchange for various other things. Now, in the final hour of Friday, the Director General of the Department and the legal advisor went to great lengths to say that they had received no documentation on the 30% takeoff. That was the policy direction they're working with at the moment. If you remember, there's confusion between whether it was 30% collectively from the mobile network operators, or whether each mobile network operator would take 30% of the WOAN capacity. And the legal advisor from the department actually said, well, they didn't really know. There had been conversations about this. There was no certainty as to whether it was a collective or an individual 30%. So they put into the policy direction that there would be 30% individually. I maintain that was a deliberate lie. I sent you the documentation proving that there was a document from the MNO to the department saying that it was a 30% collectively. I sent you that document. And I would like this committee to think of some how we take this forward, whether there should be some sort of censure of the legal advisor and the director general, because lying to Parliament is a criminal offence. Basically what I wanted them to get some sort of encouragement from us to proceed with the policy direction for the ITA, taking into consideration the compromises that were put forward by the mobile network operators, so that we can get this fourth generation technology actually out there in the public space, because we need to actually move fairly swiftly with that. I felt there were various points of contention. I mean, I came away from that meeting from the whole of last week realizing that there was a huge disconnect between the department, which was determined to do things totally its way and totally ignoring the public input, and I think they were rather humbled by that. I mean, there's very much a strong enthusiasm by all the sectors, I mean, all the participants in last week, apart from one or two smaller ones, that want ICASA's independence, Chapter 9 independence, entrenched. ICASA must be independent of both political and commercial interference. That came out very clearly. And I think that we need to advise our successor committee, which will be a combined committee, that they promote very strongly that ICASA's independence be entrenched. I felt that there was a lot of things that we talked about that people said this already exists in the ECA, and so all we need is to properly equip ICASA to do its job properly as opposed to the previous law. We didn't need to amend the law. We didn't need to wait for the bill. That could be done right now if ICASA was properly resourced and financially and with skills. And I thought that perhaps we could ask as a priority that the next parliament, there are procedural things, because the ICASA's budget is restricted because it came out of the previous department. There are things that ICASA could be doing. The rapid deployment guidelines, for example, don't need to be in the revised bill. They actually can, you know, the minister has issued a policy direction. ICASA can work on a regulatory framework that can be rolled out to the municipalities. For those rapid deployment guidelines. It doesn't need to wait for a bill. These are the main things that are holding up the rollout of electronic infrastructure. And I think we need to also make a basic decision as to whether we want to have wholesale, there to be no competition in the wholesale infrastructure line. I think there's got to be competition. People said such last week. Because there needs to be competition, A, to drive down prices, to make people nimble with their way they upgrade to you know, for their technology, because this technology is always changing. It's not a dumb piece of wire in there. It actually needs to be constantly upgraded, constantly maintained, and there needs to be competition. Otherwise, we're going to have a monopoly which is going to become lazy and then we're going to lose out on our infrastructure. So I thought we could do, you know, break it up into two things. One is to get the RTA going in line with the compromise that was suggested by the MNOs to ICASA or to the department in February, which is the document that I sent to you. So to get that spectrum thing going, because that's already happening. And to actually say, to me, we don't need another network. We don't need the WOAN. Because if ICASA can come up with a set-aside of spectrum that can be made available to smaller players on a regional basis, on a metro basis, a number of smaller players to have that set aside at friend of the family prices or for free or whatever, so that we can actually encourage lots of individual wholesalers to, and network operators to come in. We don't need another seventh network provider as in a WOAN. And that would be, to me, a real empowerment for the smaller people, is to have these other kinds of licenses like regional, provincial, if you like, metro licenses, and cheaper. And then let the big guys who are going to be, you know, building the fifth generation technology networks, you know, they can then bid for the price, and that goes to the fiscus. So I just thought that we needed to actually say this bill isn't future looking. It's too much trying to just sort of take what's there and just juggle it amongst various players. We actually need a more forward-looking bill that actually takes us, lays a foundation for the future, for the kids that are in school today. And to me, we need to actually send it straight back. Take the stuff that can be addressed by regulation out now and do that, and then perhaps come up with a more futuristic bill in the next parliament.
Mr. Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, Honourable Shin, very eloquently put a position forward, and obviously I agree with most of that. the comment was made during the presentations that the work we're doing now as a committee on this bill is so important that this bill will set the telecommunication landscape in this country for the next 100 years. That's the importance of this bill, Chairperson. I think several people raised the fact that, it seemed there was undue haste in pushing this bill through Parliament, and that we shouldn't do this because it is literally undue haste. And by the second day, we had the DG of the department agreeing that, in fact, this this bill was not workable in its current form. And, in fact, what the department needed to do post this committee's deliberations is to sit down with the various stakeholders in the telecommunications sector and see if they can't find a way forward that would actually render this bill obsolete. Because if they can iron out the issues in this bill as a sector and begin to implement aspects of it, there's nothing in the current ECA that won't allow them to meet the policy objectives of the ICT white paper. And I think that was a very important admission, Chairperson. I think as a parliament, it's important for us to craft bills and to table bills that actually have a real prospect of becoming law. Otherwise, you know, we're wasting our time. And clearly this bill in its current form won't become law. I think we heard it from several presenters, the constitutional aspects, and if I'm repeating Honourable Shin, please indulge me, the constitutional aspects relating to the powers of ICASA and the minister, around rapid deployment of networks, and around the WOAN. And specifically, as far as I could understand, while people were generally supportive of the WOAN, some of the larger companies raised concerns around the possible nationalization of their infrastructure. So from a constitutional perspective, I thought that was very important. Chairperson, also, possibly the least, from what I was able to work out, the least contentious aspect of this bill and the bill that found the most agreement was around the rapid deployment guidelines. And I think the industry has been asking for rapid deployment guidelines for a while. I thought Honourable Shin's input into that point was particularly valuable. And similarly with the allocation of spectrum, Chairperson, we can act at the impediment to the growth of telecommunications and our economy overall, the telecommunications sector, is that spectrum hasn't been allocated. And with policy direction under existing legislation, with the set aside referred to by Honourable Shin, it is possible to allocate that high demand spectrum. It is possible to get 5G moving in this country so that we can again supplant Lesotho as, you know, the country that has the biggest 5G network on the continent. So it's critical that spectrum allocation happens, and happens very soon. It was raised by, I think certainly Vodacom as the last presenter, the amount of investment required in telecommunications and telecommunications networks. And Chairperson, and the President's investment conference is all about this. It's about attracting foreign direct investment. It's about putting investment into our economy that will create jobs and get the economy moving. And that investment will come from the bigger companies if we create policy certainty and an environment that actually facilitates investment rather than hinders it. Thank you, Chairperson.
So, Tessin?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think you will correct my wife because I was not here when you started. You know, when you read a book and go through the introduction part, you may not understand it appropriately. And I think we'll also have the opportunity of getting a copy of Honorable Shin's letter, so to also apply our mind to it. And Chairperson, we know all of us that the Constitution is, you know, above all laws in the country. We must nurture a situation whereby we do not, you know, be seen standing contrary to the Constitution. We have seen people going to court and a lot of money being wasted, you know. And I think we are dealing with legal matters, and whereas we are, you know, lay people in that field. So we'll need legal advice from people who will not have a commercial interest in the matter. And it is also difficult to know exactly if a person is genuine or have a commercial interest, but want any legal advice that will assist us in interpreting the bill appropriately for the benefit of all. And the policy uncertainty is another concern that people are complaining that it will, you know, chase away investors, and we need them because we are for job creation. And also the growth of both small and big business. We want to see small business remaining small, but it is through investment that all of us can grow. And there's also a question regarding the amendment of the bill, if it is necessary or not. But if we get proper legal advice and interpretation, we may not be lawyers, but we can, you know, assess whether the bill is good for the people or not. And also if it's, you know, future-looking, because we don't want a situation whereby we do a fly-by-night, a quick fix. You know, the short and simplest way is not always the right way. We must make sure that we are not rushing, but we take it step by step until we are sure that the decision that we are taking will be beneficial to all of us, and not make a mockery of the time that you spent here, you know, sleepless nights going through the bill. But let's make sure that whatever we decide upon is something that will be beneficial to all, especially, you know, people who rely on government for them to succeed, that we do not benefit others at the expense of others. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. To me, I don't know. I'm a layman. Yeah. Because I don't know about the lawyer. I don't know about this bill. To be honest, if we can find somebody who's going to help us, not have an interest, because all of us, we have interest. So if we can somebody going to help us, especially a lawyer. Secondly, we must have a content advice. Thirdly, the researcher who knows the field, not somebody's waffling like me, because I'm waffling. I don't know which is which. I don't know which is right. I don't know which is not right. Second, if you can call the department, maybe the department and the minister, to tell us why they take the role, some role of ICASA. Is the ICASA doing the right thing? Or is like Nokuzola? Because to me, ICASA is like Nokuzola now. I don't know which is which. That's why I say, Chair, can somebody help us in this bill? Because it's important in this bill. And at the end, we must do something which is going to be proud, even when we leave the parliament, for our grandchildren. Thank you, sir.
Good. Not sure whether you would like to have anything to say.
Chairperson, thank you for the opportunity. I've made notes from what, as you went through the issues that you've picked up in the bill. I think that was my understanding as well, around the issues of it. I think a lot, even there, is clarity issues and dealing with the issue of, is there contradictions between policy, the white paper, and this bill, and does this bill go far enough, or is it necessary? But for me, that stands out, and the only thing I really want to comment on is the issue of ICASA and its powers. And I think that is really my job here as well, is to look at that constitutional issue. And I will, in the break or next year, unpack this bill carefully, and if the committee wants, I can come back with something on that. But the critical issue that one needs to understand, especially when it comes to broadcasting, is that the minister may make policy for broadcasting. That is in the Constitution. The executive is in charge of giving policy. And there's been a few court cases which my colleagues in the department and in ICASA, we discussed it, which deals with that matter. And a policy direction is a policy direction. It's not an administrative decision. And that's where they draw the line. And I'm still
still trying to get my head around the exact meaning, but where I am with that is that it is one thing for the minister to say, allocate the high demand spectrum. So I'm picking up on these terms. I just kind of know what it is now. Allocate the high demand spectrum within the next 6 months. That is a policy direction, because government wants that allocated. It's been lying around and we want to allocate it now. It's quite another thing to say allocate it to industry or allocate it to this or that, because then you're coming to the point where that policy direction may be interpreted to give ICASA no room for making their own decision, because ICASA is constitutionally required to make the decisions when it comes to broadcasting, specific for giving licensing for broadcasting. And I am from the area where I agree that telecommunications is the way of which we're going to do broadcasting in the future. So it's very difficult to separate them. And I think there's one or two submissions that said the same. It's very difficult to separate broadcasting from telecommunications. So that's where I stand on that in terms of my legal view. So where it is permitted, and I'll just repeat it just in plain language, it's permitted for the minister to give policy direction to say, do this, this is what we want to do with communications. We want to open the market, or we want to do this, or we want to do that. But the minister, him or herself, herself now, cannot make the decision and then give it for ICASA to rubber stamp as an ICASA decision by giving a policy direction. That, there's been one or two court cases that found against that kind of allocation of powers. So that's the kind of thing I actually want to say to the committee with the aim of dealing with this issue when we do deliberations on it. Thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity.
Thank you, Chair. Through you, Chair. Thanks for that. Given what you just said about policy direction on the allocation of high-demand spectrum and, well done, HDS, in that case, and so the minister can say, yes, allocate the spectrum, but he can't say allocate it to X. So the minister then couldn't instruct ICASA to keep the high-demand spectrum for a WOAN, for example. So he could only allocate that to a WOAN. That would then render that contrary to what you just said. Is that correct?
Allow you at the, you can take note of what he's saying, it's fine. Madam Zotet, would you come in? I will come back to the question.
Yeah, Chairperson, it seems to, debate forever and forever and end up saying it's a matter of semantics, you know. But you have alluded to the fact that we need a workshop. I think it is through that workshop that we can be able to break down all, you know, the question marks and come to a consensus as to whether we go left or right. So for now, we can talk and talk and talk. Everyone has his or her own interpretation. We also have, the legal experts who themselves not, singing from the same hymn book. But I think through a workshop, we'll be able, you know, to sit down, you know, break down everything and come to a common conclusion so that we can move forward.
Colleagues, you must remember, we are not, we actually have not started to scratch the surface in this bill. And I can't agree more with Mamu Dongeni. One of the weaknesses that we have suffered in a very, very far-reaching bill is for Parliament to fail to give us the necessary backup, which puts us in a very difficult situation. But I must appreciate the level to which members have arisen without their support to really tease issues out. I think issues have been thoroughly teased out. Well, there are issues that I would like to just reflect on which members have raised. I assume, Madam Sheen, on the issue that you've raised, that there is general agreement that that process that the minister has unfolded of calling for the invitation to for people to make submissions for the allocation, that process is going on in line with the existing act. And that's why we ask the question whether, in view of that unfolding, is it necessary to have the clauses that refers to that allocation? It's a matter that I think, and when I said to the department, they must go and meet with the industry, rework, look at these issues and give us a workable bill. But this thing, otherwise we must redraft it. If we have to go forward, we must redraft it. But there's an open window that the department has, having listened to the industry inputs, having listened to our queries, that because what it said, the message that went out of the meeting is that you've not done your work sufficiently. And my view was that go back to the drawing board. Go back to the drawing board. You've got an opportunity between now and elections and the establishment of Parliament 6 to look at these issues, narrow things down, do your work, and present to Parliament something that is workable. Otherwise, we'll have to redraft the bill ourselves with the capacity that we don't have. Hopefully, the new Parliament, that's all. Or you wanted to? No. Okay, good. You're sitting on my wrong side. I don't, even when I drive, I seldom look on the wrong side. I look once and twice this side. Anyway, there's a window of opportunity that we are granting to the department to engage with the industry. The industry has taken a stance, they have a view. There are those that are saying, no, this is our time. We want all of it. We are bringing in the sixth operator. And there are those that are saying, listen, we've been in the game. It ain't going to fly, but we are prepared to support. We actually have made a written submission. Now, Madam Shin, I got your email. It's very difficult to read because I think you must give us a keener one. That one is... I don't know how it was... No, not this one. There's an email that has got pages where Madam Shin was trying to prove what she's saying now. The 30%, whatever. Now, those pages are very difficult to read. The papers are like... And they are stretched. The letters are stretched, so it's difficult to read whether it was a Y or an I or a W or an M. So I think if we just redo that document, I can't even send to members. I'll show you after the meeting how it looks like. I think the scanning was very. Oh, beautiful. Then let's get. Sorry. So the printing is correct. But the reception is bad. Yeah, good. I think let's scan it properly and then let's have it. So that we can, because it was very difficult to start. Now, but this takes us to the matter. You remember when the issue of the 30% arose? There are those in the industry that have said, we actually made a commitment. Vodacom said, actually the CEO from Vodacom said, I wrote the letter to the DG. And it was our understanding that we are going to support WARN 30% for 3 to 4, 5 years or something like that. But I raised the issue with Alf and said, Alf, I agree that the manner in which that document that you have issued is crafted, I do not understand it. He tried to explain. That document raises two things. At the beginning, it raises the 30% offtake by each player. At the end, it raises the 30% collective. And that's what I raised with Alf. He said, Alf, go and read that document. Anyway, I knew everybody was tired, and I could see that they are adamant. They think they've written something. But if I read it, and I'm not... Now, and I said to them, you see, when you issue a document, everyone who reads it must at least understand. Anyone who needs to understand English, anything written in English, it must be clear, unless if it is a legal matter, which is interpretation. Now, I don't think that government would issue documents that requires interpretation. You can't invite me to participate and then you write something that only lawyers can understand, because it's not issuing it to the lawyers. But I think there may have been oversight in the department in crafting that IJA. And I did say they must go back and look at the thing, so that if it is wrong, they must correct it. But the Alpha was adamant. He said, no. Although he didn't say what was he saying, he just went wrangling on a range of things. But I thought he was tired. You know, I know that there have been, I mean, when you have to listen to all these people who are fresh and you are the only one who must respond for running 5 days from 9 to 9 at night, now I think, yeah. And they also had to go to the document, the piles over the weekend for two. So I must give them space to sort of go and but that thing, and I know there are officials from the department, I am prepared to sit down with Alf. He must explain to me, because that's what I read in English. 30% offtake or whatever per entity, although it doesn't say entity, and then at the end 30% collective. So confusing. That's why the argument by the industry was, by the big players, they had their view, and the small players had their own view. So that thing is confusing. I think it must be corrected. Now, the issue, and I can't agree more, that if we enact that legislation, it must create policy certainty. We can't waffle with the bill of that nature when we finally pass it. But as to whether we should throw it out now, I think we'd be making a big mistake, because we need to have our report in front of us. And that's something that we should work on. And the bad thing is, if we had the support, and I don't know how far the gentleman can help, with one of his feet here and the other one, two feet that side and his finger this side, whether he could possibly help us from having collected the data so that we actually can make a decision informed by what we have. I respect my view. I've given them a chance to go back, and I'm prepared to wait until early next year, if we find time, to make an informed decision. But what I am certain about, we are not going to rush the bill. And the new parliament that comes in, those people should be workshopped about the ECA landscape. They must be thoroughly schooled so that they make informed decisions. Because the danger of just rushing into something, we can just upset everything. Fail the people that must be empowered, fail the economy, and that would be a sad day for us to do that. And I think there is general consensus, from what I have having listened to all members present here, that we have to ensure that prices of communications come down, that those that have been denied participation are allowed or given an opportunity to participate. As to how they participate is a question that we have to come clean out. Should one be the route for participation? If one is a monopoly, should one be a monopoly? If one is a monopoly, will that it achieve the set objectives? How many ones should we have? What other mechanism instead of one can be employed? Madam Sheen is talking about give it to all those small players in whichever, in their individual capacity, in their municipalities, in their corners, in their regions, and whatever. So I'm hoping that those officials from the department that are here, I think they are taking notes, because obviously this is our discussion, and we are not changing the view that we had expressed in our engagement last week, that it's an opportunity for them, having listened to everyone, go sit down and review, meet, and clarify, take everyone on board, and make sure that Parliament is not given the unnecessary work to start things from scratch, because that's what we if things stand as they are, we have to start the bill from scratch, and I don't think we will be doing fair, I mean, it will be fair to the next parliament to do. But I'm sure you wanted to come in, but I wanted to give you, sir, the opportunity. After Madam Sheen, she had your hand up. Or can I give it to him? Sir, you're on the floor.
I thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, for the opportunity. I'm tempted to say that, Honourable Chair, you sort of allayed my fears a bit, because there's quite lots of critical and sensitive issues in relation to this particular sector. And I just wanted to give a little bit of a contextual view, in hopefully to assist the members in the discussion. The first is that, of course, we know there's a dire need for an all-inclusive economy that, you know, is driven by the technological developments. But having said that, equally important is the consultative process. As we know that our democracy is really grounded on broadened consultation process. I think that you've labored a lot on that issue around consultation. Well, I was not involved from the beginning of the amendment bill, but I've been sort of keeping my head and tentacles somewhere in there throughout, you know, of course, most of the time. And I also wanted to give a further more contextual background to say that, you know, 20 years back, I remember back then it was still Andy Lengaba, who was the Director General of the department then, the single department, who had a vision to align South African law to the broader community, especially in the ICT space, with a convergence bill. So we started to create one ICT policy environment and regulatory environment that will enable South Africa to catapult itself and become part of this knowledge society, knowledge-based society. And we move a couple of years forward. This scrambled egg was unscrambled precisely in 2014. So you took an ICT converged legislative and regulatory environment and split it into two. That in itself created a whole lot of uncertainty. So and then on top of that, the ministries were separated, of course, which meant that ICASA, which was part of the main contentions in this particular process of parliament, was actually reporting to two departments. And of course, that came with a lot of tensions. Whether there was legislative instruments to control that process is another issue altogether. You might have it on paper as an MOU, but whether the actual ministers are working in tandem to resolve the setup challenges through ICASA, which is the only regulator that we have to regulate a converged ICT sector, became another problem altogether, because they'll come and report to us one thing, come to this committee and report the other thing. So you never found a holistic picture that the two departments are actually working in tandem for the benefit of the citizens of the country, and hence we're stuck in this. Now come 2018. We scramble again an unscrambled egg. So it creates more challenges. So I'm putting that as my prelude to what I want to say today. So having said that, we have a new minister now who hasn't even found her feet, let alone that she's been in the sector for that long. But she still has to assert authority. And in that process, there was other processes that are kicking in, i.e. this particular ECA bill, which obviously had already been in the processes through Parliament. And we had also our committee, the communications. We dealt with the FPB bill just recently. And I just wanted to sort of paint that picture that in a converged environment, it does not make any particular sense to deal with one piece of legislation without having a holistic view of all the legislation, pieces of legislation that have a direct impact on the development of our country economy and integration, social integration of our people into the economy. So you can look at one piece of legislation this side from another entity or another committee and the other on the other committee, but there's no synergy. And I don't think, for instance, the FPB even went as far as being consulted with your committee for that matter. So that creates another problem altogether. And then there's another issue which I stand to be correct, Honorable Chair. When we dealt with the FPB bill, one of the key issues that we labored on was the issue around the socioeconomic impact assessment system that is implemented by DPME. From what I can gather from the members' comments, that there wasn't much consultative process with the department and the industry, which is very detrimental to the laws that we'll enact, because it might not affect us immediately, but 10 years to come, the committee will be blamed for having passed a law without proper valuation of the process that the department took to process the bill. And for that matter, the DPME was put in place, particularly to ensure that such bills and amendments do pass the constitutional muster. And I don't have that sense right now that the department engaged DPME extensively. In fact, DPME should have been part of this process of Parliament to ensure that they put honourable members into comfort to say, we have done our checks and balances. We know that this particular bill will meet the social impact of our country. Where I'm sitting, Chairperson, I don't think I'm at ease to say that honourable members should go ahead with the bill. Needless to say that you've said that it shouldn't be rushed. So perhaps the department needs to figure out how it works with its counter institutions to ensure before they come to Parliament they bring something that has been exhausted extensively. I'm not a lawyer, but I know that some of the processes coming out of the CR system are extremely important in ensuring that members of Parliament don't feel uncomfortable when they have to deal with this bill going forward. I also want to touch on the issue around ICASA, and of course it's been labored a lot, but I think that part of the contentions that are coming out from the public hearings about ICASA were as a result of the split. And we can't just ignore that happened. It happened. The issue is how then we consolidate the process so that going forward, ICASA does not feel the pressure as it stands now. Also to say that the independence is always questionable, because I've seen many a times where they use the independence for their own convenience, in as much as they should be using it consistently, but sometimes they use it for their own benefit, not necessarily to say they are pushing a particular agenda of government. So it's a contentious issue, but I think there needs to be a straightforward conviction from the bill itself that talks about that independence. And I don't think it's the only legislative piece that needs to be changed to actually ensure that ICASA is still seen within that ambit of independence. Without laboring much, Chairperson, I just wanted to also highlight that the split actually was just to separate the broadcasting from the rest of the telecom sector, which it made sense then, but it actually created a nightmare for everybody in the sector. And I think the industry is quite adamant about that. How do we resolve these past mistakes that we made so that we have a more forward-looking bill, like Honorable Shin had said? I think with that said, Chairperson, I think I've covered my part on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Madam Shin, you wanted to get your hand up or you fine?
No.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Four.
So thank you, Chair. I think that we need to actually make some decisions today as to which way we're going to move now. And obviously we cannot process the bill. That I think is a given, and that is going to be the problem of the issue of the next our successors committee. But what I feel that we could do is, because there are urgent matters that can be dealt with now under the existing legislation, I think let's use whatever powers we can have as a committee, whether we do it through Parliament or whether we go directly to the departments concerned, because we obviously are going to have some parliamentary process that's probably going to need to change. But we need the existing stuff that ICASA can do under the existing ECA can be done if ICASA is sufficiently financed and sufficiently resourced, and they can get busy with implementing those parts of the ECA that everybody last week begged them to get busy with, if they have the appropriate budget allocations and the requested authority to actually get the staff going. Now, we have a budget process. Is there any way in which we can, between now and the budget, influence National Treasury and ask our new minister to please make would facilitate in whatever way Parliament and the Treasury can do to make ICASA be able to roll out those things quickly, which is in the ECA. They can also issue a policy now or start to work on regulations with consultation with all the municipalities on the rapid deployment guidelines. That doesn't need to be in the bill. It's been hanging around for 8 years. All we need to do, the minister gave a direction of it, that's been excluded in the bill, we can take it out of the bill, and ICASA can fine-tune it for regulations in consultation with the municipalities. They can do that now, if they're given the money and the resources to do it. We don't need to wait another 4 years for another bill to come to Parliament. And they can actually get going with the spectrum allocation under the existing legislation, with obviously the tweaks from the industry that have come in. We can actually somehow motivate that those things happen with the necessary legislative and financial support. If we can motivate that, we will have achieved something from this process.
The question that I have is one I have raised earlier on, whether we have a local standing on that first matter of ownership. I think this committee does not. The Communications Committee does. The second matter that you've raised... Sorry? You can get the legal advice, but ICASA accounts... Who gives budget to ICASA? Do we give budget to ICASA as DPLG? I mean, DP?
No, Chip. What we can do is that we can motivate the new minister. Obviously, the budget has already been sorted out for next year. But if you can say this is a matter of urgency, we actually would request you to fast-track this with whatever means, whatever negotiations you have to do with National Treasury to get this process moving. What can we do? What strings can we pull? What bits can we tweak to make sure that the auction happens, that the rapid deployment guidelines get out there, and that the conditions of the ECA that can be done now are actually rolling?
On that one, I assumed that the fact that the call has been made, and I assume Cabinet had given the right, which would have included the President, so the President had announced the question of the issue of the spectrum in his was the response in the state, I mean in the House, because the minister, actually the new minister, spoke on the matter. The previous minister spoke on the same matter. I assume government is on course with regards to the spectrum issue. I think it is thoroughly dealt with. I don't even think that we need to be worried about it. That's my personal view. Before it came, and that's why the question is, do we need that part in the act? Because it has been, it's already, it has kick-started. The issue of the funding and resourcing of ICASA, I can't agree more. It has been raised with the, what you call, in our hearing. Because we do not, I mean, the Department of Telecoms does not fund ICASA. It is the communication that funds ICASA. I don't know what we can do. It's almost an override to another portfolio, something that you are one of those people that I know you are sensitive to reaching over to want to deal with matters that belong to other sectors. But perhaps to our various committees through communications, though, but not for us, otherwise it will actually be jumping the gun. Yes, through relationships, perhaps with the minister when we meet her and say, Minister, please, we've raised this issue, that we can do. But I don't think as a committee we can make such a determination. We can just say we wish that be dealt with. But we don't even debate the budget that where ICASA is funded. I know that the next portfolio, once the two have been brought together, the issue that our colleague has raised here about the problems we are faced with owing to the separation, it's a legacy that we have, which we have to overcome. I'm very worried about jumping into that ship. All I am hoping will happen is that now that we've given them time to deal with this matter, I did say ICASA is one of those things that they must deal with. important. And these things that they must deal with in industry so that they come back to us with a very clear position. Spectrum is gone. I mean, Spectrum is gone. It's issued. I mean, that thing is rolling out. They are concluding it. There's already a deadline. It doesn't need our decision. So I don't think we act. And that's why I raised the question, do we need it in this bill? Personally, we don't need it in the bill. It's already happening. And hopefully when they come back, they'll tell us that, no, Shay, we are removing this thing from the bill. No more necessary. Rapid, we said they must meet with municipalities, with SALGA. I even said in the meeting, some of the municipalities, for instance, don't belong to SALGA. I even asked whether Tswane was in SALGA or Cape Town. And someone responded and said, yeah, the lady represented is a SALGA rep. So, because I was saying, if you have to do it, have reps that are speaking directly to municipalities. So I agree with you, but I think we've already expressed that view. Hopefully when they come back, when we come back, and hopefully we can have a meeting before early in Jan, before the SONA, we will have committees. We can actually ask the feedback, how far did you go with all these things? Has RIPET happened? Will you deliver on time for the spectrum issue? What have you done with ICASA? How have you dealt with the issues that were flagged when we dealt with the hearings? I guess we can do that, but I don't think we should really stretch ourselves to try and speak for what other committees can do, except through our various other channels. Madam.
Chair, I would like us to formalize in writing. You may have made these remarks during last week's hearings, but we have no indication that the department is actually going to take you seriously, because we're actually changing ship, as you like. Yeah, I mean, you and I might not be here. We might have be moved on to other committees, or we might not even be here.
Yeah, but me and you, we must go.
But
okay.
But what I think would be important and would be valuable is for us just to put in writing to the department that these are the issues that we wanted them to discuss, engage with the sector between now and our the opening of Parliament, if you like.
Yeah.
That we can actually, these are the things that we want you to do, and please can you report back to us on what is happening with that?
That's exactly why I presented
in
the
writing.
Matters. Yes, that we will do, but I can't write them unless you've... So I put several issues before the committee this morning, this afternoon, whatever, and... That's why I'm saying there's a general consensus on most of the issues. And hopefully between Hajira and the content advisor, they will craft something to me that I can circulate amongst members, and then from there send it to the department, because the instruction is already there. We have adjourned the meeting. Thank you very much. I'll send to you.